Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
So, good afternoon, everybody, and thank you very much for coming to this presentation, which is called Your Image Refreshed. So if you thought you were coming here for a nice, quiet, sort of slow start to the afternoon after lunch, think again. This is going to actually be quite dense and informative, but there's lots of time at the end, I hope, for questions. So if I go a little bit quickly, please don't worry. You can come back at the end and ask some questions. So why did we want to speak to you today about Your Image Refreshed and our new project selection process? Well, we're a selective film fund, and of course, the heart of what we do is how do we choose the projects that we decide to get involved in funding. And how you do it, of course, is very important for everybody who's applying to know about. And at Your Image, we made a big change in 2022. So this is our opportunity to explain to you how things are different now and what this might mean for you as a producer, either applying to Your Image for the fourth, fifth, sixth time, or coming for the first time to understand what you might need to do differently or how you might need to prepare yourself for that application. So just a little reminder for those of you in the room who don't know very much about us. Your Image is the Council of Europe's Cultural Fund for International Feature Co-Production. We're a selective fund, I said it. And what we provide is a soft loan or a subsidy, and we come in at the end of the financing process, so we're a last-in financier. You can see the information on how much we provide on screen, but what we do is come in the last 17% of your budget if you're a fiction or animation feature project destined for theatrical release, or 25% of your budget if you're a documentary project or you're a female-directed project. Our fund supports about 70 projects a year. Our selection rate is around 37% of the projects which apply actually get a support offer. We have about 19 million euros annually in co-production support, and we spend 1.7 million euros on other activities during the year. Now, this is the kind of slide you hoped you would never see in a festival. It's a horrible organigram, but I need it to help you understand. Your Image is a fund, okay? And we're managed by a board of management. And the board is made up of representatives of all the different countries that fund our fund. They put the money in so we can support the projects. We've got 39 different countries in there. So 39 different representatives coming from those countries sit together to decide on how we do our work and what our policy and strategy is. Then we have something very formally called the Secretariat. These are the people, my colleagues who are sitting here in the room with me and myself. We're based in Strasbourg in France, and we run the day-to-day business. Then we have another group called the Executive Committee. This is a smaller group dependent on the Board of Management that does the day-to-day work. And this Executive Committee is a new body since 2022, and it's a very important one because it's the one that decides finally on the support. And then we have this other group called External Independent Experts. It's a bit of a mouthful, but what it is a big panel of people we've recruited from the industry to help decide about the projects. I'll tell you a bit more about who they are and how they work later on. So, what changed in 2022? Before 2022, the projects that were supported by Your Image were selected by our board of management, so those representatives of all the countries. Of course, you can't decide about projects in a group of 39 people, so they actually worked in smaller groups that were called, in our jargon, co-production working groups. Now, projects are selected by these external experts, and there'll be more about that in a moment. Another change that came was this one. How do these people actually decide about the projects that they're going to select and propose for support? In the old system, the board of management had these smaller groups. There were just three groups working, and the groups could look at up to 30 projects. So that is a lot of projects to look at. 30, to look right through everything, to look at all the previous works, etc. But this group was geographically diverse. It came from all over Europe, and each member of the board had a turn to work in the group. Of course, they couldn't decide about projects that came from their country, quite normally. Now we have recruited from our pool of independent experts. We have five experts sitting in each group, and we create groups, as many as necessary, so that experts will only ever look at 20 projects, which is far more reasonable in terms of what you can actually study in the timeline that's available to you. Again, the experts come from all over Europe, and we make sure that every group is made up of people from very diverse geographical horizons. We'd never have more than one expert from each country. Next, very importantly, depending on the kind of project you have, in the past, Jurimage famously mixed up all kinds of projects in each selection group. So you could have documentaries facing off against animation, facing off against big budget fiction projects, and also first films. It was complicated, but it worked. Now we have specific groups for specific kinds of projects. Documentaries are all looked at together, animation as well. First and second films go together, and then there are other films which also are in separate groups. So it's a more targeted and tailored system. But of course, what happens, as in any selective process, the projects get ranked by their score or in a comparative method, which is what the experts do, and then the ones that rank best get the support because we don't have enough budget for all, of course. So this also is a slightly different nuance to the selection. In the past, each project was examined individually and received a score. Then at the end of the day, the projects were ranked, who got the highest score, then the next one, etc., etc. And the projects with the highest scores received full support until there was no budget left to support them. Nowadays, the experts take a different approach. They still rank the projects, but it's more comparative. They're looking at similar projects. All the documentaries are together, for example. So they actually are taking a more comparative look. They're building up their ideal list of projects that they would like to see supported. A very important point for everybody, because this is something that's changed a lot and which impacts every producer who's applying to Jurimage. Every single country member of Jurimage has a national representative. They sit on the board of management. And in the past, it was an obligation that you went and told your national representative that your company was going to present a project to Jurimage. Once you had done that, you went and met your national representative, and usually you talked them through your project, giving them the latest information, giving them details that you felt may not have come out in the material that you'd applied with. This was a very important part of the process because the national representatives pitched the project to the selection group. They actually sat in front and pitched the project, giving additional information, giving historical context, giving details that might not be evident to people from outside the country. So that meant that because the national representatives were sitting within the group, they could sometimes agree to give some informal feedback on what was discussed about the project. But the ultimate deciders always in the old system were the board of management. They voted on the projects and they made the ultimate decision. Nowadays, there is no pitching. So your project comes through exactly as you presented it on paper. And I'll come back to that in a moment. And in principle, therefore, there is no feedback because nobody's listening in to the discussion. It's the experts who discuss the project and they propose a list which this group I mentioned before, the executive committee, decides upon. They make the final decision on the projects. I'm sure there may be questions about that later, but I'll move forward. Now, let's look at these experts. So a lot is on their plate and a lot is in their hands. So we paid a lot of attention to how we would recruit them, because they are the ones deciding and making these very, very difficult decisions, because the co-productions that come to Your Image are invariably the best projects from each of the co-producing countries, particularly the main lead producing countries. They've almost always received selective national support in one, two, or even three or more countries. So they're really the crème de la crème of the projects in Europe at any particular one time in terms of co-productions, of course. So we launched a call for expressions of interest from people working in the industry. And we had a huge response, far more than we actually expected, with more than 800 applications. So we were pretty snowed under. But we ended up having gone through all the applications with a pool of 509 experts with contracts with us. So we can call upon any expert from this very, very large pool of people. These experts all have at least 3 years' experience in the industry, and they all have international experience, not national, international experience. We focus very much on that. And they have the following kind of profiles. You can see it here. Production, so producers, scriptwriters, directors, distribution and sales, and then two other creative profiles, which are a little bit wild card. Many of them are script analysts, script doctors, people selecting projects in international co-production markets. So people who have an eye on the industry and can recognize good projects and ones with quality. We also have, very interestingly, had some applications and have accepted them from DOPs, editors, a few actors, and, interestingly, a few composers. So this is a very creative input to the group. And each group selecting has one of each of these profiles. So a group that looks at your project is very balanced. They're getting all the kinds of expertise, production, direction, sales and distribution, and then some other kind of additional creative input. All of our experts have been recruited for 3 years, and if any of you are involved and have been contracted with us, please be patient, because we have 509 experts, but we would only use about roughly 60 to 80 experts a year, so it's going to take a while for us to work through everybody. Now, we're not going to look in this detail, but it's just to give you some idea of the steps. As a producer, you submit your application, and then the people in Strasbourg, the secretariat, will look at the legal and financial side of your application. And it goes through a whole process, but the secretariat are not looking at the artistic side. That's the work of the experts. But the experts also depend on the analysis on the financial and legal side. And you'll see why in a few moments, when I give you a view of what criteria the experts are going to use to choose the projects. Now, really, this is a very much a summary for you to help you know what exactly has changed. If you've been to Your Image in the past, what do you need to do differently now? I've already mentioned that you no longer need obligatorily to contract your national representative, but we highly recommend that you do. It's not only a courtesy, it's also a strategic point from your point of view. It's very important that the national representatives have an overview of which projects might be coming through to any session from your country. So it can help you a lot in planning your strategy. So I would really advise you to do it. But what's also super important is that now your application file, more than ever, must be as complete as possible. You can no longer count on your national representative to fill in any gaps, and above all, to provide historical or national or political context, which they would have done in the pitch, but they're not doing that anymore. So you really have to invest heavily in your producers and directors' notes. It's really essential. It's a lot of work, we know. We're very understanding of that, but it's very, very well worth it, because the better an expert understands your project, the more chance you have. It's also very important that you be complete with the visual material, because again, the experts are depending heavily upon it. You have questions? Please come to the Your Image Secretariat in Strasbourg. On our website, all our details are there, and we will answer questions and answer the phone up to 20 minutes before the deadline. After that, it's just too late. So please never hesitate. Contact us, ring us, but try to prepare a bit in advance. Do give us a ring a few weeks before the deadline, if you could, so we can help you iron out any difficulties you may have with your project. And once you've applied, please liaise closely with the project manager who will be assigned to your project. Be frank about your financing, and please provide us with updates. That's all the more important because quite a lot can happen between your application and the actual assessment of the project by the experts. Let me explain. There's a roughly 10-week cycle between when you apply, so you can see it on the slide, and when you will learn about what has been the fate of your project. Now, this is a fixed deadline. The dates you will be notified are published on our website, so you know exactly when you get the answer. That's one of the big differences with national funds. Your image has a fixed cycle. It involves a lot of gymnastics on our part because we never know how many projects we'll get and how many we have to deal with within our fixed timeline, but we always manage. And now we have a flexible way of working with the experts, which allows us to recruit more experts if we've got more projects to examine. So we can maintain always the quality of assessment that is given to your project and which it merits given the work that goes into your application. So 10 weeks from deadline to notification, and during this period your project gets put under the microscope, looked at in detail, you liaise with your project manager, and then the sort of final moment is the meeting of the experts who look and examine. So what are they looking at? These are the selection criteria. These have not changed. They've always been the same, but there's one new one, and it's in green, which tells you about what it is. You can see what the selection criteria are. Maybe I'll dwell a little bit on confirmed level of financing and consistency. So this is very much a slightly catch-all criteria, which means how well is your project financed? We're a gap financier, so we're expecting you to be pretty complete and in a good situation. We also expect it to be coherent financing, that there must be solid feasibility for this project. It must be something that is almost ready to go into pre-production. Let me dwell a little bit also on the new criteria. We have recently introduced, just this year, criteria that we ask experts to consider on whether any measures have been put in place regarding green production. So have the producers thought about sustainability for their project? Now, for some countries, this is very easy because it's obligatory and you have to fill out your carbon calculator, and you have to already do something. We cover 39 countries, and so the panorama is very different. There are some countries where yet this is not particularly on the horizon. So our idea is that we want to encourage this to be on everybody's horizon, no matter what country the project may be led by. And so we ask everybody to at least think about it. Maybe extensive measures can't be put in place on a very small project coming from a small country, but everybody can think and everybody can have, you know, some ideas about what might be done. Now, I want to also mention another very important criteria as far as we're concerned, which is gender equality. We have an active policy to encourage us to distribute our funding 50-50 between male and female directors. But we look more largely, of course, at the balance of those involved in the production as well. And the experts are asked to take this into account in their final recommendation. They have no hard and fast rules. They don't have to divide their funding that way, of course, but they're asked to consider it, and they're asked to make sure that this is an aspect of their examination of the project. Now, that is all, because I have spoken enough. I really do hope that you have some questions, because I have in the room here with me some of our project managers, and I'm going to invite them to come up and sit with me so they can answer questions and you can see their faces, because these are the people that you will have on the phone and by email, and it's nice to talk to people that you know. So Agatha, Iris, Catré, if you'd like to come up, please. And can I ask if there are any questions? I guess there might be a microphone in the room somewhere. If not, we'll pass it down. Please, yes, the microphone's coming.
From Italy, I just wanted to ask a question regarding the division between kind of projects, documentaries. So does that mean also that the funding, the overall funding is split between these projects? I mean, if you have like 100 for funding, 20 is for documentaries, 30 is for fiction films. How does it work? I was interested in that.
Yes, thank you very much for that question. That's really helpful. Does a colleague want to jump in there, or will I say something just about the budgetary aspect first? We don't make hard and fast decisions about how much we would allocate to documentaries, for example, because we are in a situation where we have never any idea how many documentaries we will have in a pool. So we work on a rather subtle system whereby we have different groups, which we explained. We have an overall amount of money that we have within this particular round, and we allocate the money between the groups to ensure that the chance of being supported in each group is equal, so that documentaries have an equal chance, the same percentage chance of support as first-time films, animation, etc. So we work that way. But we don't have a sort of a walled garden amount that we give to documentaries or animation. We don't work in that way. We base ourselves on the number of projects that we actually have in a specific round and make sure that all types of projects have equal chances. Another question, so that I can ask a colleague to answer. Yes, here's one here.
Hello, thank you for this opportunity. I'm Alessandra Principini from Italy, Movimenti Production. I work in animation. I would like to know better about the recoupment plan in terms of producer-owned investment. If a financing plan is closed with a producer-owned investment that is higher than the producer fee, how does the recoupment of Eurimage work?
So, for Eurimage, you have to... we recoup in first position on the net receipts after deduction of TV pre-sales and distribution guarantees which have been used for the production of the film. So if you've got budget higher than 3 million euro, you will have to sign a collection agreement to which Eurimage will be a signatory.
Maybe I shall add something to be super specific. Producer investment can, of course, we accept absolutely financing plans with producer investment over above fees and deferrals. But the recoupment position is at best pari passu with your image. That would be the best position for a producer investment. It can't come out before us. Yeah, and that's an issue in some countries where there's obligatory amounts of producer investment, of course.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The microphone's coming to you.
Thank you. Could you maybe comment or explain a little bit how the role of the national representatives change at how it works now? How much they are involved now? And thank you.
Yeah, yes, of course, with pleasure. I'll answer that question, if that's okay. The role of the national representatives has changed quite a bit with what we call the reform in 2022. The idea of the reform was that it had obviously become impossible for national representatives to, three times a year, look at more than 30 projects, discuss, etc. We had reached the end of the possibilities of that cycle. So we moved to this new expert system. And of course, that had an impact on the role of the national representatives. But in a positive way, because we now use our board of management, which is this body that regroups all the national representatives, much more as a strategic think tank about how the fund can evolve and how the fund will go forward, and so we can react to changes in the industry. So that's one way the national representatives' role has changed. However, I did mention that we consider it a good idea always to speak to your national representative when you're applying. So, of course, many national representatives still remain quite hands-on. They are quite close to the producers and would like to be spoken to. In some countries, they really wish it, would like to be spoken to about the project. So they remain quite hands-on from that point of view. They can advise to some extent about is this a good round to apply in, etc., because they have an overview of the projects in the country. But on the other hand, this does put a lot of onus on us in Strasbourg and my colleagues sitting here to answer all your detailed technical questions that you might have about projects. National representatives are not so close to the detailed functioning anymore, and so the Secretariat is in some way better armed to answer these questions. But we do keep the national representatives very closely informed of everything we're doing, and in particular of the progress of projects that have been supported. We let them know of anything particular that happens in the project while it's going on. And, you know, so they still remain a very important pivot point for anything to do with Eurimage. So you're very well advised to know them well and salute them at any possible opportunity. Any other questions? One more. Perfect. Thank you. Microphone is coming. And this will probably be the last but one question as our time is nearly up.
In 2021, I think, I saw in Cannes a QR code inviting movie professionals to apply, should they want it, to be your image expert. I did that. And then I think I have to answer two rounds of questions. And then probably beginning of 2022, I got an email saying, okay, you're now your image expert and you could get any time. And that's the last time I got any email from her image. I'm not complaining, but I have to say that I'm wondering, will I at some point be asked to provide some expertise, even though the word expertise is a big word. So I'm a bit puzzled. It's not a big deal, but just I'd like to know.
I'm really glad for that question because it's one we're asked a lot, and it's one I tried to sort of brush into the presentation without being very direct about it. As you saw, we have 509 experts, and we're a little bit overwhelmed by the management of all that. And it is the case that we have a large number of experts upon whom we have not called yet. We simply don't need them yet. And it's particularly the case when you come from one of the larger countries where we had many applications for experts.
I'm French, yes.
Yes, we have a lot of French experts. So you may be called up, you may not. But it's totally out of my hands because, believe it or not, we have such complex criteria for composing the expert groups in terms of their professional profiles, their nationality, their age, their gender, whether they're French-speaking or not. We have to have such a complicated business here that we actually use an algorithm to generate the experts. So we don't have any hands-on interference in it at all. It's actually very fair. It's just neutral. We program it and it does its thing. So I cannot tell you when you will be called. Maybe the algorithm will bring you out someday. But please be patient with us. And, you know, I do hope the day will come.
Thank you very much.
I think one final question and then we have to finish up if there's anything else. No? So, yes, one more and then we finish.
Is there any particular agenda on productions that you're promoting?
Do you mean what, you know, profile of the projects in
exactly.
A way? Yeah, exactly. Well, you can. I think this slide was intended to give you an idea. So right. You can see Art House, you know, we're a public cultural fund, so we're very focused on European Art House. Canada is a member of our fund as well, so we bring in Canadian co-productions. This is very much where we focus. We are interested in first-time film. We have a very good record of supporting first-time filmmakers. We're also interested in elevated genre, We have a few projects. You can see at least one on screen there on the slide. And we like very much ambitious, theatrical, creative documentaries. We're very interested in this sort of project as well. But all comes down to... So this is the general, you know, picture of what we do. We don't have a sort of published editorial line. The editorial line is, it's what you see is what you get, in a way. It's what we do, that's our editorial line. It is possible in the future that the board may decide to have an emphasis in one area or another, but at the moment, it's not the case. It's very much a broad cross-section of quality European and Canadian international co-production art house. Very much sums it all up. And the quality element is really paramount, and this is very much what the experts are focusing on. Are we looking at a quality project with a really organic and well-financed and well-thought-out co-production structure behind it? I'm going to finish there. Our time is up. I'd like to thank you all very much for your attention. My colleagues are here, as am I, for the next few days. We are present on a small desk in the Industry Gold area, so don't hesitate to come and see us. And we also have, speaking of gender equality, we're among the co-organizers of a seminar on gender equality in the industry, which is organized with the Biennale, which is on Tuesday afternoon in this space. Thank you all very much indeed.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.